Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as we continue our season of Advent, this season filled with hope in our hearts as we move towards all of the ways that Jesus comes into our lives. We gather to add our voices to all of God's children, and it is so good that you are with us. Whether you're here in church or you're joining us online, it is good for us to be together. Just a reminder that tomorrow is our regular congregation council meeting, but new council members who were elected at the last congregational meeting are invited to join us beginning at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. On Sunday, December 17th, that's next Sunday, the youth group will be having a Christmas get-together, so all youth from 7th through 12th grades are invited. We start at 6 p.m. Christmas is coming. Believe it or not, if you hadn't figured it out just by looking around the room. And with that Christmas worship this year, December 24th is a Sunday. So the fourth Sunday in Advent is the morning service, and we will have just one morning service that Sunday morning, 9:30, led by PB&J. So thank you very, 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 very much. That evening, we will have our typical two Christmas Eve services, one at 7 p.m., one at 11 p.m. And then Christmas Day, we will meet for worship again at 9:30 with Becky leading that worship. So join us for any and all of those services as we celebrate the incarnation of our Lord. I did have one extra prayer request. If you can please keep in your prayers, Joe Meyer. R.J. Meyer's father was put in hospice care this past week, and so please keep Joe and his family in your prayers. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them. But we have gathered this morning so that we might continue our worship. So I invite you to rise as we join together in the Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We join now in our confession for Advent. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness for you, so that you may be revered.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the Lord.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love.
Him is great power to redeem.
It is God who will redeem us from all our iniquities. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The Advent season reminds us that we are called to live in peace. Peace from God, which passes understanding. Peace from the angels to all who God favors. Peace from our Lord Jesus, and not as the world gives. O Lord, fill us with peace as we remember Jesus coming and await his return. As we light this candle of peace, we recall your faithfulness and your gifts. You are a God who fulfills all promises, and your peace is from you, and our peace is from you alone. We continue worship with our gathering song, Prepare the Way.
He has come to bring light into the darkness. He has come to bring freedom to the captives. He has come to restore the broken hearted. It's time to grow. The year of the Lord.
Prepare the way.
Prepare the way.
bring hope to the hopeless, she has come. To comfort all who mourn, he has come. To heal our every sickness, it's time to proclaim the year of the
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, and prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is from Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God, speaking tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that she has served her term, and that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Hear the good tidings lifted up. Do not fear. Say to the city of Judea, here is your God. See, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and gather them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 15a. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all of these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of person ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But, in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and new earth, which righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the first chapter. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandal. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we are in our second Sunday in the season of Advent, and on this day we hear from Mark, the gospel writer. There he is on the end. Mark the evangelist. And from Mark we hear the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So here we are at the very beginning of a new church year, and so we get the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But wait. After this amazing announcement from John that this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, do we hear birth stories of Jesus like we get from either Luke or from Matthew? No, we don't. Do we hear stories about what happened to Jesus during his formative teen years? No, we don't. Do we get a glimpse of his home life or a glance at what he did to earn a living? Or what did Jesus do to have fun? No, we don't. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what we get is a gander at John the Baptist, and let's face it, he's a little weird. We were establishing that. As we approach Christmas, we love to hear the birth stories of Jesus. From Luke, we get the Annunciation as Gabriel comes to tell Mary that she will bear a child. We see Zechariah struck dumb for doubting the birth of his son John. We watch Mary and Elizabeth greet one another, both in wonder at the amazing things that God is doing through them. From Matthew, we see Joseph as he struggles in his decision, do I marry Mary or set her aside? We cheer with the angel hosts. We encourage the shepherds to go and see. Those stories are the heart of Christmas. But these stories are nothing that we get from Mark. He shows us none of them. To begin Mark's gospel, Mark introduces us to Jesus' weird second cousin, John. Because John the Baptist is weird, at least the John the Baptist that we meet today in the gospel reading. Now, if Luke can be believed, Jesus and John the Baptist were second cousins. Martha and Mary were cousins, so that means that their children are second cousins. If Luke can be believed again, then John is also one of a priestly family whose job it was to make sure the smooth operation of the temple in Jerusalem. John's father, Zechariah, met the angel in the holy place. John's genealogy puts him in the temple with his father, and John uses none of those things when we meet him this morning. The John we meet today is dressed with hairy camel skin and a leather belt, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He was out in the wilderness near the river, not in the temple, and John was proclaiming to anyone and everyone who would listen a repentance for our lives. John wasn't out there instructing people on how to properly live a sacrificing life where sin is erased by the blood of lambs or oxen or turtle doves. John was telling us that our lives need to turn around. We need to stop and listen for God and then turn and follow God into a new life of faithfulness and love. This was something new, and to many people, that message was weird. Now we have heard this message of repentance, and we even know that Jesus himself will begin proclaiming that same message, that same goal of repentance at the beginning of his ministry. But in John's day, that was not the message du jour for anyone. Instead, the assumption was that we're all going to be going along just fine. Now, we might need to confess a sin or two, and we may need to pay for those sins through sacrifice. But that was what was correcting our relationship with God entailed. John wanted us to see that we need change. Our lives, our very living. Rather than finding what is the smallest sacrifice required to make up for this particular sin, John is encouraging us now to live a life that loves God and loves our neighbor, that remembers widows and orphans and other castaways. John was weird, and he was attracting attention to himself. John knew that in order to get people away from the temple, away from Jerusalem, he needed a gimmick. Camel skins and leather belts, those were not rough and ready garments. It wasn't a camel's hair sport coat with a coach belt, all right? It was as if John the Baptist was out in the wilderness wearing a kilt and a poncho with black socks underneath his sandals, all right? He was weird. He ate bugs and honey. Now, locusts and crickets are, you know, a source of protein to many different people in many different countries. But John didn't do that in order to be trendy, but rather like Simba and Timon and Pumbaa, he was doing it because it was rough and ready. It was easy to pick up bugs, and there you are, all right? The strange clothes, the even stranger diet, it was all meant to attract attention, to get people to want to come out and check this weirdo in the wilderness, and it worked. John attracted attention, but it wasn't really for himself. John gathered crowds who would listen to him, but more importantly, crowds who heard him. The crowds came that they may repent and then be washed in the river, washing away their sins as they were starting a new life, a new way of living. And while all of that was happening, John was not using that fame or notoriety for himself. He was pointing to Jesus. This is the beginning of the good news that we've been waiting for. John's message of repentance and forgiveness was pointing to Christ. John's encouragement to new lives of love and service was pointing to Christ. John told the people gathered around him that he was not the one everyone was waiting for. No, one more powerful, one more worthy is coming. John said, "I baptize with water. I baptize to mark this repentance you have made. But he whose sandals I'm not worthy to touch, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and your lives will truly change." See, this is really John's job. It is the reason why he is there, and it's even the reason he looks and acts so weird. He wants people to come and listen to him as he prepares the way of the Lord. You see, Mark gave us those clues at the beginning of this gospel when he tells us that as it is written in Isaiah, there will be a messenger, one who will prepare the way, make paths straight and roads all smooth. We heard that passage from Isaiah again today. The valleys lifted up, the mountains laid low, so that the path of God's chosen one will be smooth and straight. Isaiah is reminding us that even in the deepest valleys of despair in our lives, God comes to us and lifts us up. When we really do think that we're all that in a bag of chips, God will come and let a little air out of us. When there are walls erected to keep us or others out, God's love comes to shatter those walls. That is where our repentance can lead to. A life where the valleys are lifted up, where the mountains are laid low, and our lives are smooth. Mark is beginning his gospel, showing us that the world into which Jesus enters, while it might be dark and treacherous like ours is, into that world there is hope and there is peace for God's people. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ is that people like John the Baptist were pointing their way to Jesus. And that's our job as well. Into our world, dark and treacherous as it appears, we carry the light of God's love in Jesus Christ. We point to Jesus and we point to the love of God that Jesus brings. We can attract attention however we want, but that attention is so that we can then point to Jesus, that we can point to the forgiveness, life, and salvation that Jesus brings to all of us. You don't have to wear camel skins or eat bugs. You don't have to leave your homes and move to the wilderness. Instead, we get to live as children of God, sharing the goodness and the grace we receive from God every day. We get to love our neighbors, following Jesus all the way. A phrase I like to live by is, well begun is half done. From cooking to painting walls, hanging wallpaper to building stairs. If you begin well, if you anticipate what you're going to need, if you gather all of your tools and equipment, your task is actually easier and much more fun. Today, Mark, our evangelist, is trying to live that same sentiment. John the Baptist, weird as he is laying the groundwork and pointing to Jesus. He's laying the groundwork and pointing to all of the wonder, the love, and the grace that comes to us all through Jesus. And so may the hope of Advent grant us peace this day as we go out into the world pointing to Christ as John has shown us how. Amen. Please rise. I invite you now to join me in confessing our faith using the words we find in our Advent Creed. We believe in one God, who is Father and Creator, maker of all we see and all we don't see, who is ruler of the universe, source of all creation. We believe in one God, who is Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light, true God and true human. He is one with the Creator, the Word made flesh, our Messiah, Savior of all creation. We believe in one God, who is Holy Spirit, breath of God moving among us, who is one with the Creator, one with the Christ, our Comforter and our Guide, Mentor of all creation. We believe in God's own Church, one Holy Catholic and Apostolic. We believe we are called to the communion of saints and receive the forgiveness of sin. We believe in the resurrection of the body and everlasting life. Amen. With hope and expectation, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration. Send forth your faithful people with words of promise and forgiveness. Teach your church to be bold in revealing your good news in word and in deed. Lord, in your mercy, reveal your majesty in mountain peaks, flowing rivers and blossoming wilderness roads. Heal the earth where it longs for renewal. Bring wholeness to the earth and all its creatures. Lord, in your mercy, turn the hearts of the nation towards righteousness and peace. Increase cooperation for justice between countries, commonwealths, political parties, and diplomatic leaders. In times of prosperity, direct leaders to be generous for the sake of all. Lord, in your mercy, comfort your people with tender words of love and healing. Surround all who are grieving, all who know depression or anxiety, or all who feel lonely or forgotten. Be a steadfast presence when all else feels uncertain. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness or injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these known to us who need your wholeness. We pray for Stephanie, Dawn, Sharla, Darlene, Joe, Judith, Jerry, Judy, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy, grant holy patience to all who are awaiting this season. Give hope to those seeking employment. Bring reassurance to people waiting new diagnoses or treatments. Protect expectant parents. Watch with those who keep bedside vigil. Lord, in your mercy, with you, 1,000 years is like a day. Bless the memory of the saints from ages past and the anticipation of saints yet to be born. Inspire us to live with faith as we await your new heaven and new earth. Lord, in your mercy, Listen to these and all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Be people of hope and peace. Let hope live in your heart and share the peace of Christ with all you meet. In this season of Advent, we need to see, feel, and share this hope. So may the God of hope, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and be with you all. Amen. I hope that your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Never gives up and never runs out on me. Oh, your love.